Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman. Alongside me on the pitch at St George's here in Port Elizabeth, Jared Kimber. Jared, here we are, head of the third test. And, you know, after going to Centurion for the first time, SuperSport Park, and then Cape Town, we've been a lot spoken about Newlands, I was just starting to have this feeling, you know, that I think South Africa can boast the best cricket grounds in world cricket. And we've arrived here in Port Elizabeth, oldest cricket ground in the country. I'm still not disappointed until I look at the commentary box, which is looks like it's made out of balsa wood. But we're sitting in there. We don't have to look at it. This is a pretty special little ground.
It's one of my favourite cricket grounds in the world. Newlands I like, but Newlands has the table...
A bit commercial, isn't it? It's a bit like everyone going on about Lords. This, I think, is a little bit like the Oval. Compared, if you're going to make comparisons, Newlands is Lords and Port Elizabeth is the Oval.
Purely as a cricket ground, I think this is better than Newlands. It just doesn't have a whopping great big mountain behind it. But it's I love the old stand. That's where the band will play. And it's still got the old flat wooden seating, which I know, look, honestly, if I was sitting on it, I probably wouldn't like it. But and I have sat on it many times.
Good to look at, not so great to sit on.
Yeah, I've sat on it through a couple of World Cup games. But then it's got the great stand at the end. It's got the grass bank. And, you know, it was...
I tell you what, though, let me just stop you there. If you're an estate agent, you'd call that a grassy bank and you'd sell it as a feature. But it reminds me a little bit of the grassy scrubland that you get at Port of Spain. It's not quite like that, is it? I mean, it's literally... In fact, it's not even a bank. You know, it's not even a grassy knoll. It's an extension of the pitch. But yeah, technically, if you're selling it to a London market, you'd make quite a lot of the grassy bank, but it's not quite like that.
There's grass here, is what I'm saying. Look, it's an incredible ground. I came here for the 2003 World Cup, and Chris Cairns kept hitting the ball out on the road out here, which was over my head. They used to put a temporary stand up there for the World Cup. I sat in that stand over there behind the band for a whole game, a couple of times. Saw Brett Lee get really involved in a sledge. I just really love it. It feels like a proper cricket ground. You know when you play the cricket games online and they have the realistic grounds? This is one of the grounds I always used to pick because it just looks like a cricket ground should look. And it's a brilliant place to watch cricket. You know, it doesn't need a mountain, is all I'm saying.
One of my favourite features are the brick sentry, almost like sentry posts, which house two of the floodlights. I'm trying to work out. It's almost like you're at the opera. You know, the posh seats, which we'll never, ever sit in. You know, looking out onto the actual stage itself, where royalty sit. It's kind of like them, but I can't believe that actually is them. It looks more like it may be a walkway.
Looks like where Statler and Waldorf would sit during the Muppets. It's also got the old scoreboards where the people can go into them. There's not much information on it. But again, there's a lot of really good touches. And can I mention also that the logo that they have for the actual the association here is an elephant on a pair of stumps. They've got a lot of the little details right that I like.
That sounds like it could be a part of a chess set, doesn't it? And, of course, Graham Pollock Pavilion as well. You know, the names associated with this ground are absolutely top-notch as well. Are you all right about that little... It's like a little box, isn't it, the scoreboard? Almost like they finished the cricket ground, they've gone oh, we forgot to put a scoreboard in. Where are we going to put it? I'll just put it up there and we'll work it out later. Great little ground. First place they played rugby here as well, international rugby in South Africa. So again, a little nod to the Oval. First place that they played international cricket. Last place that they played international cricket, I think, before sporting teams were banned from touring here. So what can we expect from this test match then? Shall we have a little look at the pitch? Because when I got here earlier, it was covered in, not sure if it was tarpaulin, but certainly was covered. It's not covered now. Bloody hell, it looks like... Well, it looks...
Brown.
It looks like a hippo would live in it.
It looks very brown. Look, traditionally it plays very slow. Neil Manthorpe's told me that they're trying to make it quicker. I haven't gone quite into the data of it at the moment, but it's known. I think one of their South African players was interviewed last night and he mentioned the word slow 19 times. It's a slow surface in traditionally. And remember, I've seen some of the, like, you know how much I've talked up the ground. I've seen some of the dullest... is he doing push-ups?
He's doing Misbah-ul Haq push-ups. He's one of the ground staff. I'm not sure what he's done, but essentially at the top of the run-up, not the top of the run-up, it's just behind where the umpire would stand. He's one of the gentlemen is about 19, 20. He's struggling now. 21, 22. What's he doing? What's the punishment? What's he done? Why has he done push-ups?
No, they're competing.
They're competing. Who wins? You win?
Me, I win.
You win. So there you go. A little bit of a competition between the ground staff about who can do the most push-ups. So with this ground, there's a little bit of rain forecast, actually. One thing we didn't mention about it, you can feel the breeze coming in from the sea. You know, when you go through modern cricket grounds, and one of the big, we moan a lot about, the fact is that you can't walk up to the ground. A lot of them are situated out of town, especially in India. Here, slap bang in the middle of town, right by the sea, the walking crowd is more than possible to entice if the cricket is attractive. Pitch might be slow. So you're thinking, unless Manners has got some inside information, we could be set for a little bit of attritional cricket.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Dean Elgar about here once, and geez, it was slow. he was slow. The pitch was slow. It's slowed down actual time. Time and space may have stopped for a little while. So, look, that's what you traditionally go for. You know, we'll have a deeper look into the stats as we come into it to see if things have changed a little bit. But, you know, this is a wicket that has been played very similar for a very long time. Look, it's a beautiful place to come and watch cricket and to, as you said, the breeze comes in. My hairdresser this morning said it gets windier in the afternoon. So if you want expert local knowledge, bang. And, you know, it is an incredible place. When, you know, once you get the band going and it's beautiful. But the cricket is sometimes more on the turgid side.
A little bit more 1889, which is when the first test was played here. Andrew McKenna's been out and about, catching up with England's Ollie Pope.
Looking forward then to Port Elizabeth. There is a bowling spot available in the fast bowlers with Jimmy having gone home. You tend to find that when that's the situation, net suddenly becomes a lot more competitive as everyone comes charging in, trying to get that spot for themselves. As a batsman, have you noticed that this week, that there's been a bit more on it from the fast bowlers as they try and convince Joe and Chris that they're the person to take Jimmy's spot?
I think, especially probably if they're bowling at Rooty, they might see it as that. I've only really faced the guys who are currently sort of playing, but you can definitely tell there's a little bit of competition about. But I think that's a really healthy thing. If it gets you fired up in the nets, and if it gets you training at that intensity that you want to be training at, then I think that's awesome for the squad to have, and it just probably even increases that level of performance in the nets and hopefully in the game as well. So, yeah, potentially, but I think it's a really good thing.
I said from the batsman's point of view, if you're getting, what, 30, 40 minutes in a net session against that, you must come out of it almost think, well, if I can cope with that, I can cope with anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, they've got a very good attack as well, with some good pace and some good skills in there. So I think the more you train, the more you get used to facing that in the nets, it's only going to be a positive when you get out on the pitch. So, yeah, I think it's a real good thing.
There's been a lot of talk about the New England approach. If the top three are going to be solid, bat time, see off the new ball, there's going to be opportunities for you guys in the middle order, isn't there? It seems fairly a simple approach, and it actually seems fairly basic cricket.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's obviously a work in progress. It's not something that happens overnight. We know exactly how we want to go about our cricket, and like you said, if the top three can bat some time and almost let us stroke players, I say stroke players, not that they're not as well, but if we've got a good base and we can go out and play like we want to in the middle, then brilliant. But I think at the same time, if not, and if we do lose a few early ones, we've still got that ability that going all the way down the order to sort of drag that back. And I feel like everyone can sort of put in those long beginnings now, which is a good thing. But yeah, like I said, it's a work in progress. We're just trying to get better and better, which is a good thing. And obviously we've got still quite a few. I've only played probably 5 games. Sibbers haven't played many. Zach's not played many. So we're learning quickly. We're trying to get as good as we can as quickly as we can. But the more established we get, hopefully the better that will become.
So Ollie Pope speaking to Andrew McKenna. Pope will of course play. There is question marks over the makeup of the bowling attack. It seems to me that it's either going to be Mark Wood, Chris Wokes or Jofra Archer. I guess this is a kind of pitch, if it is as dead as you say, you're going to probably be erring towards pace rather than containment, would you say?
No, I see. I looked up the stats, I think it was the last 4 years of test matches here, and because KP kept talking about how you want more pace in PE, and I kept looking at the guys that you would consider to be really quick, and Stark didn't do very well here. Chimera, Sri Lankan, didn't do very well. I mean, that's not to say that pace hasn't worked here as well, but there's nothing in the numbers that suggests you would go with pace. I would think on a wicket like this, you want patience, and you probably want a little bit of nous. Now, Anderson would be perfect for that, but maybe Wokes and Broad are the more obvious ones with one of the quicks. You've still got Stokes if you need a little bit of extra pace. I'm not sure you need three blokes bowling 90 miles an hour if it's a bit of a pudding that doesn't go very far. But I could be wrong, but it just... To me, I think people are reading it slightly wrong at the moment. I'm not sure you want two guys who's not exactly on top of their line and length on a pitch like this, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, on that topic, Andrew McKenna also caught up with the South African number 3, Zubair Hamza.
It's like England might replace James Anderson with either Mark Wood or Jofra Archer, go with outright pace. Yes. Would that be an issue for South Africa?
I think we've trained pretty well with regards to pace, and in the nets we've kind of been pretty constructive in terms of our preparation towards pace and swing bowling and spin. So hopefully we've prepared well enough for whatever we might face in the middle.
Archer is a very different bowler to Wood, though. Does that maybe you have to make last-minute adjustments to the team plans when you get the team confirmed which one of them it'll be?
I think that might be the case. We've done pretty good preparation off the field in terms of analysis as a batting unit, and I'm sure we'll continue to do so later today when we have a batters meeting.
Where are South Africa here? I'm not really one for momentum. I know that Ollie Pope believes in it, and so does Andrew McKenna. I don't really. Whatever happens, we've got we can't. It's almost like 0-0, 2 to play, isn't it? I'm quite excited though. I know I'm not always excited about Test cricket, but I'm excited about this one. I think England have played. I think South Africa have almost played nearly as good as they can do, and England haven't. And I think South Africa might look back at Cape Town and see it was an opportunity missed. Not to win the test, but certainly to draw it.
Yeah, no, look, you're definitely right there. I think that South Africa came out and played almost their best cricket in Centurion, and then they struggled a bit in Cape Town. It'd be interesting to see how this pitch will test the new mindset of the England players, especially perhaps guys like Sibley and, you know, very defensive-minded. But as a general rule, you would have to say that England are, I think, slightly the better team with these two. But maybe it's a bit like the Ashes where it ended up 2-2. I think Australia were the better team, but away, the best you can still end up with is a draw, unless you're... the better team in every way. To be fair to England, half their team aren't here at the moment.
They're also a very young team, aren't they? If you look at the ages of Zach Crawley and Dominic Sibley, Sam Curran, they're a young side. The consistency probably isn't there. But yeah, it's going to be fascinating. We'll be back here tomorrow, actually. Joe Root and Faf du Plessis will both be speaking ahead of the third test match. Joe Root, one of the few England players who actually made it to the ground today, maybe one day behind in terms of training. He came here for a net session. So it'll be fascinating to hear what he has to say. It'll be fascinating to hear what the team is. Will he let us know? He doesn't normally, so you'll just have to check back with us tomorrow, or of course after day's play on day one here in the third test match to find out. Yesterday, if you're listening, I did promise you an interview between Ben Stokes and Darren Goff. That will have to wait until after the third test match is done and dusted. I hope you understand, but for now that's pretty much it. You've been listening to the Following On podcast. Review and subscribe on Acast, iTunes or Spotify, and thanks for listening.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.